education officials in Colorado are on a statewide summer listening tour to get help solving a crisis in the classroom. The state is short 3,000 teachers. Some open positions in math and science have gone unfilled for a year or more. And last month, the legislature ordered school administrators to come up with a plan to solve the problem. Katie Anthes is Colorado's Commissioner of Education, and she joins me now. Katie, welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Sure. So, you know, I'm picturing 3,000 empty classrooms across the state of Colorado. Is it really that bad?
Well, no, we won't have empty classrooms, of course, but we will be needing to provide emergency licenses for teachers and make sure that those classrooms are covered. But they might not be covered with the ideal situation where you have a highly prepared math teacher in those classrooms until we can find that expertise for that classroom. But we will still have the classrooms covered for sure.
Well, the statistics from your state show that the number of graduates from teacher prep programs fell 24% over a recent five-year period. And we see in the Denver Post, it's reporting that a third of your teachers are over 55 years old and they're getting ready to retire. So are you prepared for this problem to get even worse than it is now?
Yeah, we are concerned for sure at looking at that leading indicator of 23% drop in enrollment in traditional education preparation programs. That is sort of a sign to come that we are concerned about. However, this is one of the things that we are going to be looking at in that statewide report that you mentioned at the beginning, is looking at all those systemic elements of the teacher shortage and coming up with some solutions for all of those areas.
Okay, and so what do you have in mind, because you're going from town to town, city to city across Colorado this summer, trying to have the public give you ideas how to fix this problem. But what do you think will help?
Yeah, I think it's just like everything. It's not a one-shot solution. It's a complex situation that we need to address from all angles. We really do want to hear from the different communities how the teacher shortage is impacting them. The solutions may be a little different. For example, one of the things we know we need to tackle is housing. And so housing shortages or expensive housing in certain communities in Colorado really almost prices some teachers out of the market for their living arrangements. And so we need to tackle that. In some of our mountain communities, mountain resort communities, they just don't have enough affordable housing for teachers. We know probably compensation is an element of this.
Well, speaking of compensation, the average salary for teachers in rural Colorado is just above $20,000. And you could argue that instead of passing a law telling schools to study this problem, that the state could pass a budget that allows teachers to be paid more. I mean, isn't that what this comes down to, really? It's hard to make a living as a teacher these days.
I think it is certainly a big component of it, for sure. And we do have, you know, even statewide, our starting teacher salaries are lower than the U.S. average, for sure. So that is something we have to look at. Colorado gives a lot of control to districts in setting their own salaries. But you're right, there is budget implications to this. And, you know, that's a whole other complex situation around school funding and state funding for our education system.
You must be concerned about what this means for the quality of education in Colorado, because if you need 3,000 teachers, that probably means that class sizes are way up. And if you can't find a science teacher or a math teacher, you probably have an English major stepping in to teach those classes. Does this hurt kids?
Yeah, we are absolutely concerned about that, and we're working very hard. I will say our districts are very innovative and inventive, and they're solving these problems on a case-by-case basis. And it doesn't necessarily mean that there's not a really wonderful, qualified individual in those classrooms. It just... We need to think more systemically about making sure those people have the professional development, the support, and the training they need. We're sort of tackling it from all these different issues, and including recruiting from the communities of folks that have some of those skill sets and can provide that education to our students.
Well, one of the problems that you have is that you might have trouble recruiting across the country, because this is a problem all across the United States.
Yep, we are tracking that as well. And I think a lot of my state colleagues are facing the same things. And this is one of the main topics we talk about when we get together. We need to make teaching, which is a noble, impactful, amazing profession, we need to really make that profession attractive and really be able to have a living wage to do it.
Katie Anthes is Colorado's Commissioner of Education. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
Okay, let's take a wide-angle look at this now. John Jacobson is Dean of the Teachers College at Ball State University in Muncie, Indiana. John, thanks for being here.
It's a pleasure to be with you.
Well, this is not just a problem in Colorado. A study out last year from the nonpartisan Learning Policy Institute says that enrollment in teacher prep programs dropped 35% from 2009 to 2014. We're talking about tens of thousands of classroom jobs unfilled across the country. What does the shortage look like from where you're sitting at Ball State?
Well, of course, Ball State University is one of the largest preparer of teachers in Indiana, and we, too, experienced about a 35% decline over that a few short 5 years, and that has been turned around a little bit here at Ball State University because of our efforts, but I know that some universities are still seeing declining enrollment.
So let's dig into the why of all this then. And I'm looking at the calendar. Around 2009, 2010, something called Common Core comes to life. Of course, these are the state-led standards that outline what a student should learn by the end of each school year. Some over the years have complained that it leads to high-stakes testing and that it's stressful for teachers. Is that part of the problem?
Well, I think it started really more with the No Child Left Behind legislation, where the high-stakes testing was rolled out nationwide. And so the culture was shifted to conform to certain ways of teaching. There was a Gallup poll back in 2014 that showed that teachers scored dead last among 12 occupational groups in agreeing with the statement that your opinion counts at work. Hmm. And, you know, coupled that with low pay, little autonomy, higher accountability, there's also been a decrease in the professional development dollars.
Well, you also have President Trump's 2018 proposed budget that calls for more than $9 billion in cuts to the Department of Education, which I imagine will trickle down to places like Indiana and other states across the country if Congress approves that budget. Does that make the teacher shortage worse?
Well, obviously, if you are not increasing in your learning in how to work with children, teachers become frustrated and they're more likely to leave the profession. Hmm. You know, there are pockets here in Indiana that are increasing in the non-speaking of English, as, you know, and so it makes it more challenging. We, as teacher preparation entities, need to be ready to help with that, doing research and professional development. But if there's no dollars there to do it, then how are teachers going to get those skills that they need?
So you've laid out the challenges, and there are a lot of them. But what about the solutions? What are you doing at Ball State to attract more teachers? What are other schools doing that's innovative that can convince somebody to become a teacher when they could get another job out of college that pays more and isn't as difficult?
We have tried to work with our policymakers, with our school districts, our media outlets, to try to work together. So our state legislature actually, in the last session, created an opportunity for the top 200 students in Indiana who would like to become teachers to provide them with a nice grant of up to $30,000 to help them with their educational costs. I mean, that's a real positive step. Is that enough? Perhaps not. But when you couple it with, you know, we are trying to work with our school districts to create what we call teacher cadet programs, where we work with the schools and setting up those who are interested in becoming teachers to have their students work and get some experience. Maybe there's one thing that I might add, and that is every year I meet with all the freshmen teacher candidates coming in, and I ask how many of them have always wanted to be a teacher, and I get probably 80 to 85% of the hands being raised. But then I ask the question, so how many have had a close friend or a family member or someone whose opinion you really trust discourage you from going into teaching? And I have 100% hands going up. Mm. And so this is something that as a society we really need to work on, because it is the future for us here in our country to have a well-educated population. And that only can occur if we have high-quality teachers who not come in and stay for a few years, but stay for many years and devote their time and effort into our children.
A challenging job, but maybe worth it. John Jacobson, Dean of the Teachers College at Ball State University in Muncie, Indiana. Dean, thank you so much.
Thank you, Peter.